girl. Love the mess. I watch the swirl of smoke.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, August 22nd. Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host online with us. Hello, Wombat.
Guys, I'm caught in a time loop. We've been here every week for the last couple of weeks. I'm trying to figure out a way to get out of it. I will figure it out one day.
Every week for the last four years. Our guests today are Boudreaux. Hello, Boudreaux. Hey. George Brown, the 2.5s, formerly of Brooklyn. Sweetie Steve, hello. And the John Richards. Richards, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you. Yeah,
multinational show with people from all the way from Sweden to England. And we don't have Canada represented this week. Anyway, Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, the sciences, and conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. Wombat, where are we going on our talk today?
Yo, since we can't start on vacation, Boudreaux says he's half Canadian. There you go. We're actually going to do a quick little follow-up on how everyone's been doing. Boudreaux, we want to start with you. Been missing, my friend. How you been?
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been well. A little bit of vacation was going on, and busy soccer stuff has been crazy. Viv is playing two teams, high school and club. And she's wow. Only in middle school, so it's crazy. But I have a fun, neat little tie-in to Let's Chat thing for you guys. I was visiting with my dad a couple weeks ago. He's an atheist, and we often talk about these type of things. And he has been chatting with a friend, not in Kentucky. I'm not even sure where he is. And his friend was interested in free will. So they were chatting about free will. And
here we go again.
My dad's friend sent a link to my dad and said, hey, check out this really cool talk on free will here. And my dad looked at the video and said, that's my son.
Nice.
It was me and you talking when you were on campus. So
that's so cool. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Small world.
Yeah. So I had a similar moment. We had a guy come over to our job. I work as a laboratory manager. It's kind of like a scientist, right? So we had an equipment and we had a contractor come in to try to fix it. And the contractor's just chatting and we're having a fun conversation. And then he just starts bringing up God and religion. And I'm like, I got 15 minutes to kill. Let's just see where we'll go with this. And so I go a little bit into the idea of like, how did you come to your conclusion that it's true? Keeping it light and simple. And the first thing he brings up is like, well, actually, I should be thinking about it a bit more because there's these videos online and there's like this black guy who talks to people on like cases and stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just going to stop it here. There's a certain point where my ego will fold on top of itself and I'll get trapped in an inception of that's me talking about me. It's like, so I just let it go. But yeah, that was a great conversation, Eric. I really enjoyed it. I think that's one of our most popular talks, to be honest with you, on the channel.
That's an infinite regress, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So you have to back out. You have to know when to back out. Yeah. John Richards, speaking of taking over, speaking of getting out there and being popular, how have you been?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. And I've been on a couple of similar chat shows to this. There's one which is based on the West Coast, both California and north of that, even into Canada. And that's called Turn Left at the Valley.
Left at the Valley.
Yeah. So if you go to YouTube channel Turn Left at the Valley, you'll see there's an episode where I appear as their guest at about minute 40. So that was fun. And I've also been on our own Atheism UK podcast, which we started doing here, which is similar. A few guys talking about an item. And so you can see that at the Atheism UK YouTube channel. So I've been quite busy keeping amused. Meanwhile, we've invented a new form of cricket.
Oh, very cool.
Speaking of is it harder to explain than the old form?
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's easier and faster and more like baseball. And it's great fun. The whole thing goes
everyone's
on.
Cheating.
No, it's not that like baseball.
Okay.
The whole thing happens in a period of 3 hours. And my team just won it yesterday.
Oh, excellent. Congratulations. Nice.
Very good for you.
It's called it's called the 100. Because each side gets 100 balls.
Nice. All right. So 200 on total, hopefully. They should have called it the 50. Now I'm upset. All right. George Brown II, take me out of this. How have you been doing, my friend?
Well, I'm deep in over my head in the world of Linux and, just working on computers and computer problems over the last week. Nothing very much more exciting than that.
Okay.
That I can remember, that is. I'm old, so my memory is not what it once was. It never was.
My memory.
There you go. Yeah, we just need micro SD slots for our brains. That's where we need to be at. Swedish Steve, how do I do?
Hello.
Nice. I do lit hook dog. How are you feeling? Are you a little sick today?
Nigh?
Okay, good.
It's maybe
a little
hangover.
Scraggly on your side. There you are. There hangover. You are. Sound a little scraggly. Well, good to hear from you. How you been? How's the land of the Swedes been going?
Oh, it's mushroom season. So,
okay. This is a big deal.
Yes.
I went mushroom hunting when I was in Sweden for a bit, and it's actually something that people are really, really crazy about. Do you want some context behind that?
No, it's mushroom hunting season, and we get a little bit defensive about our spots.
Right.
Now give us the GPS points now. We all want to go there and get those mushrooms.
Okay. I can tell you this, at least where I was at, and that's like area Gothenburg, it was pretty much, we had sun for about 5 months out of the year, 6 months out of the year, like steady sunlight. And so when summer does hit, at least the places where I was at in Sweden, it's sort of like there's no excuse to be inside. You have to go outside. You have to have fun because the dark is coming. Winter is coming.
Yeah.
And you have to enjoy it. And so mushroom hunting is like this really fun thing where it's like, hey, there's mushrooms outside. Let's eat them. I have my places where I've eaten mushrooms and I've not died. So I'm going to go back to those same places. You have your places and we'll just see who makes it to the next.
Yeah. You know, the old Vikings, they chewed on a poisonous one called flugsvamp. And they got really excited before battle and they were chewing so much. So sometimes they just leapt over the railing of the ship and drowned because of the heavy armor.
Jeez. It's a crazy hard life as a Viking. No one knows that better, though, than Doubter 5. Doubter 5, how you been?
I'm fine.
Nice. How are you? Give me some context, Doubter 5. I'm tired of these walls you put up between us. I'm good. I'm fine.
You're tired of what? I didn't catch that. You broke up.
All these walls. I say how you doing all the time. Well, I don't want to talk about it. I'm good. Come on. Give me something to work with here.
No, I know. I'm fine. I'm not very exciting to talk to. I'm an old guy. I stay in the house most of the time. Chat on Facebook, play computer games, watch TV, Netflix, whatever. Nice. BritBox is really good. If you like British TV, watch BritBox a lot, mainly murder mysteries and stuff. Huh?
Is it like HBO but Britain?
It's like a Netflix, but it's lower level. It has TV shows and series things, more TV shows than like movies, but it does have some movies. Tell us all about John Richards.
Some of those old British cop shows have incredible music in them.
Yeah. There's fewer guns, I can say that, and not so many explosions either.
That's a nice little stab. That's a nice little stab. We appreciate
it's true. That. He's right.
It is true.
If you like British TV, that's the go-to place.
Yeah.
I actually grew up on it. Like me and my mom, we would watch, and these are old shows, but like we would watch Keeping Up Appearances, Mr. Bean. What's that one where it's like, I know the theme song for it, but it's basically like a retail store in a really old, fancy shopping outlet. Oh, and it was like,
yeah, are you being served?
There you go. Are you being served? And it was just very witty and like constantly very well-written jokes back to forth. Yeah. It raised my standard for like good
comedy. With one of the earliest gays on TV.
Yes, yes. And Blackadder, which really blew my mind. It's progressive.
We've got to mention the IT crowd.
Oh, yes. IT,
new wave. If you're, especially if you're in IT, that's the show you can't miss.
I tell you what I thoroughly recommend, though, and that is Yes, Minister, and the follow-up, Yes, Prime Minister.
Check it out.
It's really worth watching. It's hilarious. It's about the interaction between the civil service, who really run the country, and the politicians who think they run the country.
Very, very good. I think you might love that.
What about Afterlife?
Cool.
You guys into that, Afterlife?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Tell us about it.
Oh, is that the one with what's his name?
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. I watch both of those series. They're very good.
It's really good. And it's got that British humor, which I really like.
It's so funny that they would make a comedy series out of the topic of depression and suicide.
Yep.
Wow. Or feeling like he wants to.
Well, if anyone
suicide.
Could do it, I think they'd be. Anyone
and what's the name of this series?
Afterlife.
What? Yeah. Afterlife?
Very specifically, though, it's two words because it's not afterlife like the afterlife. It is a story about after life. So his life is over, and the story is about what it's like after she's gone. I think is the point of the space between the two words.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets into atheism and belief and all that. He did a really good movie on this concept too, called the Invention of Lying.
Yeah, very good.
Really good.
Yeah. I was thinking Ricky Gervais.
Afterlife is a tragicomedy, I think.
Tragicomedy.
That's about right.
Yeah. And it's two words, right?
Yeah.
Afterlife.
If you're looking for one word, you'll find that I own afterlife.cloud.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Yeah, nothing on it yet. It's just my domain. But the intention is that it's somewhere where you should post your life story to be revealed after you've gone.
All
the people.
Mark Twain and his whole 100 anthology after he died. 100 years after he died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you've heard of Kiss and Tell, haven't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Those stories that sensational make all the magazines, where you reveal who you've kissed. In this case, in afterlife.cloud, I call it a revelous story, because when you've gone, this is published, and in which you reveal all of the stuff that you did, because of course it doesn't matter to you anymore, you're gone.
Not matter to your family, though.
Well, it might do, yes. So it's going to have a big effect on how we treat people, because we might be thinking, will I be in his revelous story?
So we're listening to this and smiling now, but I don't think the day is very far away where our experiences on a daily basis are recorded digitally on some sort of phone or server or uploaded to a cloud. And once we're gone, we may not have rights to that anymore. It might belong to a corporation, and they'll just be like, well, let's just rifle through these people and just make it public.
Yeah.
Public.
Well, that's right.
There's a right to give it away when they're dead.
Well, I'm trying to sell this idea. It's not just text. The idea here is that you should put up all of the, you can select, obviously, from your backlog, from your legacy videos and JPEGs, and put the whole thing up there with your own spin on in your last dying days.
So you have an opportunity to influence it for the better, to make it look good a little bit.
Yes.
But I was saying, like, I think it's really, really cool where if a cop does pull me over and be like, hey, where were you July 14th of 2017? It's like, I can just pull up Google account and be like, look, I was literally here. I have pictures here. I got my driver's cam there. This is biometrically locked. My GPS is locked too. I got the dates right there. I got the cameras, like everything's watching me. You know,
where I was. It's not so good if you're guilty though.
And it's not good.
There's no such thing as a false alibi anymore.
Hey, speaking of which, I do want to touch some bases on Swedish Steve a little bit. Hey, do you have a show that you'd recommend Sweden come out with, any that we should be checking out? Because we spent a lot of time talking about British TV. Is there, you have a favorite British TV show, or is there a show locally that you would recommend we check out?
In Sweden?
Yeah.
Kopas? The best we have is like Bergman, and that's not funny.
It's not funny.
Bergman's not funny. That's true. It's true.
There was a, okay, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a Swedish version of Cops that is, I wouldn't say it's popular, but it does exist. Cops in America is like police roaming around with a camera crew and arresting people and watching embarrassing people. In Sweden, though, it was like cops roll around and there's like a guy sitting next to a fire hydrant and they're like, "Do you need some water?" "No, I'm okay." "Okay, let us know if you need anything," and then just get back in the car.
Wow.
That's the way to do it.
That is a
be
like
part
that.
Of the community.
I was watching the whole episode. I'm like, I just feel so calm right now. What's going on? This is crazy. Bad boy. Speaking of,
I don't know if you've ever watched any early French movies because they are so mundane. Monsieur Hulot, for example.
I love them.
He gets up in the morning, he makes his
Jacques break. Tati?
Yeah, he goes out and nothing happens, you know, he doesn't finish up. He comes back, you know, you see him eat a meal. The whole thing, you're waiting for a punchline and then suddenly it's over.
But it's very funny though.
Well, you're obviously thinking of the comedy ones. I'm thinking of the ones that are supposed to be serious.
I didn't know about those. Yeah.
And they just turn out to be the day in the life of a boring person.
Go for it, Larry.
Well, all I was going to do is say we got off on this tangent and we stayed there forever. And my fault, I introduced BritBox and all that. But we really do have a topic today. And
we
it would
sure
be
did.
Doing
we
George
sure
Brown,
sure
huh? So what time?
Sure go for it, yeah. go for it.
No, it would be doing George Brown Two and a Half the disservice if we didn't get to his topic. Starting atheist groups in your town. Let's talk about that a little bit. Do you
George
have any
Brown,
specific
so
questions, George, you want
to
introduce?
Well, my specific question is how the hell can I do it? You know, because I've tried and struck out. And
give us your story then. How did you try? What did you do?
Let me give a little background first. I live in a little city of 14,000 people, which has a college which has now named itself a university, and it's affiliated with a religion. So at least there's some young people around. You know, and there is a history of atheism in this area. I heard that somebody had been seen driving around with a license plate frame that said freedom from religion on it. That sounds good.
Yeah, cool.
And the Freedom from Religion Foundation, even before I came to this state, I was on their mailing list and saw a story about a billboard in a town not too far from where I live now. And there was an atheist billboard. And the billboard was defaced by somebody. But, I mean, it was an atheist billboard, right? So I figured, well, there must be some atheists around here. I'd like to be in their company. You know, I'm feeling kind of lonely here in the Bible Belt, right?
Sure.
I mean, seriously, there are 167 official Baptist churches in these two little counties here where I live.
That's not uncommon. And, John gave a face, but that's not uncommon around here.
Yeah, and then there's another 37 unofficial Baptist churches, and then there are all the Baptist spinoffs. So I can get to feeling a bit lonely here.
How did you try to start a group?
Well, I went on to what's that service called where you can start Meetup? Groups? Yeah, Meetup. I went into Meetup and, you know, checked on the subject of atheism. And there was a problem, which is that they had some pending groups. They had three different pending groups, and each one had been assigned a name that was sort of exclusive to the other ones. So like one of these was named Atheism, Good Without God. And to me, that just doesn't have much pull to it, you know. But the main thing was that, yeah, they had 50 people who had shown interest in one of them, for instance. But then they were distributed over maybe a 50 to 100 mile radius. So how many of these people can we really bring together?
Well,
you know,
speaking from experience, for the listener, I started the Atheist Society of Knoxville 20 years ago, nearly 20 years ago, and we now have over 1,000 members. But I started with an ad in the paper. This was before Meetup. The thing about it is, with Meetup, you have to go there and look for a Meetup in your town. And how many people will actually do that if they don't think that there's possibly one? The only matter of fact, I have a good friend who's tried to start one in a small town next to Cookeville, Tennessee. And although it petered out shortly after. I think it was just, well, I really can't speak to why it petered out, but it did take a start off with. But I would recommend just a small ad in the paper. It could be anonymous, meeting at a coffee shop, and say that you want to stand a copy of The God Delusion up on the table for people to be able to recognize you. And then the secret is, don't stop. In other words, you may go 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks and feel frustrated and quit. Don't stop. Now, you may in the paper ad mention a meetup place or a Facebook place. I know you're not on Facebook, but someplace on the internet where the people might be able to communicate with you to help spread the word, as it were. But those are my 2 cents. Anybody else got some ideas?
I think newspaper's good because you'll hit a demographic of people who read newspapers. Mm-hmm. I think the meetup also worked too, so why not both? Because that's how you got me, Larry, because when I came back from Sweden, I was here for a year and I was looking for atheist groups in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I thought there wouldn't be any. Saw your thing, saw the book, and I was just like, I emailed you after that. I was like, hey, is this group still around? And you're like, yeah, come down. I'm like, yeah, and it changed everybody. Yeah.
There's a few other tricks too that I recommend. If you've got any public billboards that people like at the libraries or supermarkets where people post things, stick up a little card saying atheist meetup, check this out, go to this site or whatever, or maybe even start a Gmail email address.
Nice.
Create one that people can contact you. Also, one little trick I like to do, I have a lot of business cards made up for the Atheist Group of Knoxville, and I go to McCain's Books. Oh, they have a very small little section for atheism. It has about 2 or 3 boxes of books for atheism, and I take those cards and I put them in those books.
So
if a person picks up a book, he knows about the group.
I think Boudreaux has an exceptionally good way of starting groups. Would you mind talking about that?
Boudreaux?
Yeah, the summit. Yeah, in Georgia, I guess it started with among friends. So, I think if you had a group already, you know, I think it's easier to do something like this. But with Summit, it's just, you know, like a sit down conversation, you know, have people bring food even sometimes. And it's just very casual. And, you know, we often talk about religion, of course, but I find it difficult to explain to people that haven't been, in a way that some people hear it and they go, that sounds like work, or that sounds like effort, or, you know, there are a few people that I've tried to explain it to, and then they finally come reluctantly, but then they love it. So I'm still working on the best way to articulate it, because some people just it's like a book club, I guess, kind of a book club for people who like the God Delusion.
That's true. Books a Million or other kind of book stores around will welcome groups that come in and want to talk about books. You can do change your book every week and just advertise a book club.
It's almost like a book club, but there's no books.
Right.
Because you're still doing the same critiquing and questioning. And what if this happened? But there's no central book that you're basing it off of. It's entirely off of what everyone's saying, the last thing that was said or stuff like that.
In fact, it all started because of the 4 hour or the 2 hour conversation that, and I'll say it, Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, Daniel Dennett, and
Hitch. Mr. Hitchens.
Yeah. So that I'd watched those videos, and a couple of my friends had watched those videos, and we want to do that. We want to have exactly what they're doing, which of course we didn't even get close to. But that's an idea for you, George. You don't do social media, but what about YouTube? You could find conversations on YouTube that maybe are, somewhere. Where did you say? Where are you in Tennessee?
I don't.
I'm halfway between Chattanooga and Knoxville.
Yeah.
What
do you? Bunch of green. He doesn't want to give out the specific.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Then you could maybe look for videos that are in that area, maybe, and post on.
See, I want to break in here and mention another experience that I had that was very okay. Back a moment,
George,
that
George, before you do that, could we have John Richards give a chance to weigh in on what he thought on like what we said so far? John, just want to weigh in on with you. Have you started atheist groups ever? Do you know what an atheist is? And like, have you ever did like things where multiple meet in the same place? How'd you get that started up?
Well, yes, I have. But I'm interested in what you've been saying, because pretty much we don't really have local newspapers here anymore. They've almost entirely died out.
Wow.
Not only that, but a lot of the bookshops, you might call them bookstores, they've gone too. I mean, I've actually been to Borders in London, San Francisco, and Auckland, New Zealand. But that was years ago. They don't exist anymore. So we have one bookshop in the nearby town, which is Worthing. And the other ones, W.H. Smith is a famous chain of bookstores that was on every railway station. They're all gone, pretty much. So it's getting increasingly difficult. But yes, I have started a group. In this particular case, I'm going to talk about a skeptics group, cool, which is pretty much the same as an atheist group. And I did it by putting posters out on, like Larry says, on places where you can stick up your own A4 on somewhere that the public can see. And back then, this is 7 years ago when there still was newspapers, and I got an interview and I got half a page in the local rag. And this is all gone now. Now, thanks to lockdown, we're pretty much doing it like this. And that's why I was able to get on to Left at the Valley, for example, like I was saying earlier. And it's because everything is worldwide now.
Yeah, it's so a blessing now.
It's quite difficult to start up a local thing.
Yes. It's safe to do, to be honest with you.
I found that there are atheists around here. But they're gay.
Cool.
And I'm not. And it's like, I was talking with one of these people who said, oh yes, they're all Buddhists. And, it's like, I was locked out because I'm not a member of the gay community here in my town. And this is ironic. I mean, why is there a gay community in this particular little city? It probably has to do with the presence of this university that's here.
Are gays intolerant now?
Well, these guys apparently are, because, or at least this one person is my
Yeah,
my
maybe
one
that one
content.
Person was, there's, yeah, there's knuckleheads in every group, to be honest with you. Sure. You get more than three people in a room, you're going to find one.
Absolutely.
That's, yeah. Don't let them be representative of the whole.
Taking Atheism UK, for example, That was begun, I think it was in 2008. I wasn't a member at the time. And it was begun by a few guys who met for a beer in a pub in London. And it started that. It grew into a movement. And we've not looked back, you know. But that was back then when you could do that, when you could go to a pub.
Let's feed this out more in the second half, guys. Larry, why don't you take us out?
Sure. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break. Back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday morning, August 22nd of 2021. Now let's talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, for just a moment. Founded in 2002, we're in our 19th year. ASK has over 1,000 members. And we have weekly Zoom meetings during COVID, but we're also meeting in I can't speak today. We're also meeting in person at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in Knoxville's Old City out on the patio. Just look for the group with a lot of happy people. Now, you can find We're us happy. Online. We are.
It's true.
At Facebook, meetup.com or KnoxvilleAtheist.org. You can also find us on just by Googling Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and start an atheist group in your town.
Can't find one.
Start one. I'm trying. Where do we want to pick up?
How are we going to start one?
That's right. We were talking about how to start an atheist group.
George, we left off with you. Was there a story that you wanted to pick up from the first half? Sorry to put you on the spot. I know you hate this, but you were telling us about another thing before we went over John Richards. You're going to tell us another story about another complication that you had trying to start a atheist group in your area.
Oh, was I? It was just that I found that there are some atheists in my area.
Right.
And I was only able to locate one person, and he was not very forthcoming. Sure. It's like I wanted to get together with these people because, look, here in the Bible Belt, I can get feeling pretty lonely. I mean, I'm a big city person.
Yeah.
And
I'll throw something out at you. There is a thing called Black Nonbelievers, right? It was started up in Atlanta by Marisa Thomas. Very good group. But it's for Black people who are atheists, and there's a space that's needed to help, you know, coax people who are like me, who are in communities where religion isn't just like the way of life; it's the metric of how you determine if this person has value. Like it's their connections to their family, and if they break that, they are literally alone in a world that is
ostracized.
They're ostracized in a world that's not in their favor in the first place. It could be really complicated. So to have like not Black Nonbelievers be this body, which is like, hey, there is an organization. They do a lot of community work. I am with them. It's a great way to find a steady place in America, especially as a Black person, to be like, and I'm also an atheist. It's not a big deal. Actually, it's kind of something that I'm actually happy about. And I'm representing this group and we're doing some good things.
By the way, people can find them at blacknonbelievers.com. Or .org. I'm sorry.
That group would be open to having people who are white or whatever join the group. That's not an issue. But if there was a white person who felt like, oh man, I just wish I'm literally in the place where there's nothing but Black non-believers around me. I wish I could just have a group or a community where they could reach out. I can almost guarantee you if there was just a general, hey, atheists, let's have lunch. Can we meet up? It didn't have to be a Black non-believer associated or sponsored ordeal. It could just be, hey, let's hang out with this one guy.
Yeah,
we're all atheists. We all have that in common. Let's hang out. So I think finding that common ground, even among groups that may be meeting because they have additional cultural tags on them, it's still a valid option for you. So if you did have like a group that's atheist and gay, you can just say, hey, let's just have an atheist lunch. And if the gays come, that's like, cool, because we're all atheists and that's what this is all about. And let's talk and let's find some common ground, because I think this is what we all agree on. And
it was during the break between the segments, we were talking among ourselves. And so not recorded on YouTube right now. And I mentioned my experience that I had, which is only through like one person. So he said that they're all gay and that they're all Buddhists. And I don't really care, but I mean, I'm not gay, but I don't care.
Yeah, but it never throws me off.
It never went anywhere.
I have questions about this group now.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been able to break in even, you know.
All right, I'm going to just some hot topics. You might be better off. There are a lot of cults on Meetup, just letting you guys know. If you hadn't checked it out, you go on meetup.com. There's cults left and right. And like the
Did you say cults? Cults?
Cults. Yeah, cults.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said.
Yeah. But there is, how do I put it? Sometimes you're better off not being in certain groups. And not every group that even has everything lined up with you is the kind of group you want to be in. You want to have the group, if you can, coordinate with the people that you already know are in the group. Maybe you can reach out to them individually and see if there's like a common ground that's worth for you to spend time to make a connection. But the opportunities are available to you. The tools are there too. Mm. John Richards making the where sign. What's up? Another roundabout discussion.
I want to tell you about a very odd way of starting a group that I encountered. This was about 7 years ago when I was exercising the kids in a playground.
Yeah.
And I met this other guy who was doing the same thing. He was looking after his kids as they climbed and clambered on all the apparatus. And we struck up a conversation, and it turned out that he was the newly appointed pastor of the local Baptist church. Yes, we have that sort of thing in this country now. And so we had a conversation, and I explained to him that I wasn't a believer, and we decided to meet up and talk about that. So
why did we want to bother?
I think the Baptists are quite missionary minded.
Indeed.
Yeah. So we used to meet up once a week for coffee and have a chat and talk about our differences of belief. And in the end, he challenged me to a public debate, which we held in his church. And I've got the video of it. This was 7 years ago. And in the audience, it was well attended. There wasn't an empty seat. There were some people who weren't on his side, and they came and joined my skeptics group.
Oh, cool. So
nice. That's a rather sort of backhanded way of starting.
Yeah. We've always invited or attended people who invited us for inter-religious sect conversations, and we found them very fruitful. Very happy to attend those and give our take on religion, as it were. A lot of people in the crowd are very interested.
Yeah,
a lot of people are. I do feel that a lot of it comes down to clout. I feel like when that guy met you, knew who you were, knew what you represented, he saw, here's an opportunity for me to look good, because there's a lot of other atheists he could have gotten to have a full debate with, but he chose you. And I feel like he knew that the second he saw you, and was like, oh, there's a guy I could probably invite and have show him up in front of my whole congregation. And I was like, yeah, let me have some lunches with this guy. I just hate that. I just hate the whole thing. It's always the same thing, man.
Well, Boudreau, to continue with the anecdote, he really lost that debate. As well, I go to the Free Thought Productions website, YouTube channel, and see it. And the thing was, he didn't like his performance, so he challenged me again.
Oh, did he?
we had a return match in a church in a neighboring city. We're not far away from Chichester here. And that wasn't enough. So we did it again at a Skeptics in the Pub meeting in Horsham. But now he shuns me.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, it would happen eventually. It happens. Boudreau, I want to throw something out at you. You're a PhD, you're a scientist, and you're also well enough known atheist that people could find it if they looked for it, right?
Sure.
You get approached by a pastor who wants to do a debate with you, maybe like on a live stream YouTube channel. Would you accept? And what would be your concerns/qualms?
Well, I'd never done one of these before, so I don't share your... You seem to think it's not worth it anymore, and that's probably, you're probably right, but I haven't really experienced it much. I'd probably rather like enjoy it at least once.
Yeah.
Because we do mini debates at Summit anyway, and there are certain topics I feel very comfortable talking on, and that would be one. I would do it, but I would understand that I probably wouldn't continue to do it.
So here, do it, but that's a great way of saying it. If it was someone in Summit who wanted to do a debate later on, I'd be like, hey, they met me on my own terms. They came to my house. We had a conversation with them. I feel there's way more trust here. And maybe we could have a good conversation. I won't say names, but like, obviously I've met some Christians who are at Summit before with you. And I'd be like, these are cool guys if you want to do it. But if you got like knocked on the door by, hey, I'm the pastor from, you know, three streets down UK, I would be so suspicious of this dude. I my head would just be like, it's not even about the topic. It's just the fact that it's you. It's not me. It's you. I just feel like I wouldn't want to engage with someone who clearly has all their ulterior motives, unless they're explicitly made clear to me, you know, what was going on. And one last thing. Hey, Data Five, go for it. Data Five.
No, finish your topic.
I had a friend who I met and did SE with once at NanoCon, which was an event here in Nashville. And he said, hey, can you be on my show? And I was like, yeah, I'll just figure out a time. And we were out of time. And I said in the email, because I had a conversation with this guy and I felt like we were cool. It's like, hey, what's the topic of the show? It's like, I just want to talk to an atheist and I want to talk about atheism. I'm like, great. We'll just make the conversation about atheists. I'll be happy to talk about all of it. And we did the show. And for like the first 90%, it was just about atheism. We're hitting all the great points. And this guy was a believer. So it was really great to have like a really fruitful conversation. Then that last 10%, he's like, now let me read you some favorite scripts from the Bible. And let me tell you why Job is the best. It's like, no, I don't want to be preached that. And he's like, well, I just listened to you for a whole 60 minutes. It's my turn to preach now. It's like, we did not agree to that. And I'm telling this on the live stream. You don't have my consent to pull me into this conversation when we already agreed otherwise. It's like if I want to talk about PTSD, you can't just end the conversation making grenade explosions into the microphone for the next 20 minutes because I didn't agree to that, right?
Right.
So like you talk to me about atheism, we're going to talk about atheism. And he's like, well, I'm just really upset. I'm like, that's not my problem. And that's how the conversation ended. But I feel like that's so common with someone who thinks they're justified by God to convert you into their belief, sure, practices, mm-hmm, and dogma. And that's such an unbalanced point of view to even come from. So when someone, that stranger, knocks on my door, it's like, I don't even trust you because I know you have other ulterior motives. You're here to make more Christians. You're right here to make more Buddhists, gay or otherwise. What's up? I'll leave it up to you, Larry.
Oh, talking about how to start a group, but we also should talk about what things to do and don't do when you start a group. Yeah. One of the problems I ran into starting my group was that some people wanted to be a gatekeeper. In other words, you had to be a certain level of atheist before you get in the group. No, anybody who wants to get in the group can get in the group, even if they're a believer. And the reason I say that is that if they want to come in and talk about religion, talk about their views and stuff, that's productive. I mean, that's entertaining. It's informative. It's going to change some views of one side or the other. It's airing out views, which is good, but you don't want to have proselytizers. Now, proselytizers will show up. I mean, we did have several proselytizers come to our meetups, sit down and have dinner with us. Now, a lot of them were very welcome. They're very nice people, happy to have them, except if they won't take no for an answer. Mm. We had one guy that came for, I swear, 6 weeks solid. And every time he sat down, he not only proselytized to us, every time we tried to answer one of his points, he'd laugh at us. And make jokes about us and dismiss us. And at that point, this just happened naturally. People stopped talking to him. I mean, and after a while, he apparently got the message and left. But you don't want to be a gatekeeper. You want your group to be open. And like I say, the conversation is worthwhile.
Yep. 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 And so in my head, I would say the thing that I'd like to do is, I like to have conversations where more people are comfortable. And what I'm comfortable in is when I'm having casual conversations with people. So even when I do my outdoor talking with people, mm-hmm, I try to keep it as casual as possible. I don't make an interrogation when I do ask questions. I don't make it like a interview process. It is literally just us having a conversation. And mm-hmm, if you have questions for me, I'll answer them. And if I got questions for you, hopefully I get the same back too. But I represent the vibe that I want. Like I'm demonstrating the kind of behavior I want other people to emulate when I try to start a group or be a part of a group.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't make any converts by being argumentative and aggressive.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
One side or the other, either side.
You just come across as argumentative and aggressive.
Right.
There's a better word for that. We get it on the radio.
Yeah.
Boudreaux, what'd you have?
Back to George's, mission here. I dare say, I know you don't do the Facebook, but I'm wondering if you could find a way to leverage Facebook either through a friend, you know, have them post on your behalf or do like one of my friends did. He had a field party. He set up a Facebook account, set up the party, invited a bunch of friends. And then after the party, he shut it down, deleted it.
Thank you.
I think Facebook really has some power here. I know with music, with bands, This seems like a similar situation. If I want to promote a show I have, I'm not going to put flyers out. I'm not going to take an ad in the paper. I can't do these things we used to do. I have to put it on Facebook. That's 90% of the people that are going to come to my show are going to be because they saw it on Facebook. And it puts it in their calendar in face. So it has a power that, you know, you may despise the whole idea. And I actually don't much care for what Facebook is doing to the world, but it does have a power that you could harness, at least to get started, and then maybe, you know, cut ties and go to Meetup or Google Group or something like that.
Mm. Thank you.
These are all great ideas.
Yeah. Yes.
So listen, George Brown, you got some stuff. Daughter Five, I hear you. I see you. Go on for it. Go for it.
Oh, me? Yeah. I'd like to get back to the point where I said we should welcome proselytizers. I think I may have overstepped there. You want to welcome them into your meetup if they show up and say, you know, I'd like to join you and talk to you. That's fine. You don't want to make them members. You don't want them to be able to access people in your group willy-nilly, because a lot of people in your group will have had very hard times or very bad experiences, or maybe even been traumatized by religion. And you don't want religious proselytizers in your group to be able to just say whatever they want to whoever they want to. Matter of fact, in Knoxville, we have two Facebook groups. We have a public-facing group and a private-facing group. For that very reason, the people want to feel safe in the atheist group, so they come to both groups, really, and join the private group just so that they could have conversations without being scrutinized or villainized by religious people. So just wanted to revisit that topic.
I also got a bit of a nuanced point of advice, but like when I'm around my friends, around you guys, my conduct behavior is completely different than when I'm at work. Completely different from when I'm in front of my mom or around, you know, the disc golf field where I'm just playing disc golf with buddies and stuff. But the thing is, I'm capable of many different kinds of standards of conduct, but I tend to adopt to what I think is the most appropriate one when I'm in a particular group.
Sure.
And if that group has an established code of conduct with its members, it's very easy for me to, that's clear. It's very easy for me to confirm to those standards. So if you do make a group and you do want to make sure that people are respectful in a particular way or address people in a particular way or have a particular kind of vibe, just make it explicitly clear from the get-go. And that way people can adopt to that. And if they trace away from it, at least there's like a written rule or like clear communication to make sure, hey, this is how we talk to each other. You know, it's helpful when you have those rules in front of you.
Yeah. It's like years ago, parents would tell their children that you can do certain things at home as long as the vicar isn't visiting.
Okay. George, we got some good advice. How do you feel now? Do you think we tackled this topic a bit better? Oh, he's on mute. George, no, he's going to score that. We're just going to have to send him a link to the show now. That's how
he's online.
Yeah. he's looks looking like at typing. Facebook. He's looking at Facebook. So I wanted to throw out a quick little teaser for next week's episode. I have this idea that most people would be hard pressed to name their favorite philosopher who didn't also endorse or condone or ignore slavery as it was happening. And it's a bit more widespread the more I was thinking about it. I'm not sure if it's factual, but I will bring up the idea of like, hey, you know, we're not unfamiliar with the idea of bringing up David Hume, but that guy loves slaves. Aristotle, ooh, that guy loves slaves. All about him. Jesus, one of the most famous philosophers people mention, had no problem with slaves, did not go one step to be like, hey, by the way, don't have slaves. A lot of other commandments. What Caesar's belongs to Caesar's, and property is people, and people can belong to Caesar, right? I would love to hear what we have as good role models or in philosophy, and also see if they pass the what would Jesus do test, in that did they endorse slavery, ignore it purposely, or think themselves so divine that they were the next second coming or the next best thing to God? And if none of those pass, then we got some good philosophers, but I want to make a little nice short list. Anyway, that's it, I think, for the week. Larry, why don't you tell me all about this weird concept called, wait a second, we can't get to you just yet.
No, not yet. You need to let Boudreaux. Everybody else go.
Tell me something awesome that happened to you this week. Tell me something awesome that we think we should check up by next week. Two things.
Something awesome that happened to me this week.
This week and something awesome we should check out before next week.
Okay. Something awesome this week. As I mentioned at the top of the show, my daughter's playing for a high school team even though she's in middle school. And it's just so rewarding to watch her do that. And
wow.
A lot of fun. But what should you check out? I think you should check out this joke.
Okay.
What did Yoda say the first time he saw himself in 4K? He said,
Tella.
He said, HD, am I?
Oh. Dad jokes. That's very good. You're going to start John Rich's. He's already thinking about the next dad joke. Can I ask one quick question? Is that an acoustic bass guitar behind you?
It is. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, very, very cool. Okay. Cool. Very nice. Nice. John Richards, something cool that happened to you this week or something we should check out for next week?
Well, I was involved in making the latest podcast for Atheism UK, and we dealt with a subject similar to the one we've been talking about here, nice. Which was, if I can remember what it is, no, I can't. Go to Atheism UK YouTube channel and see.
Nice.
Next week, I will have... Oh, I know what I should have said. Last night, I had on my Free Thought Hour show Howard Berman, who is the president of Atheist Alliance International, AAI. Go and check that out. Yeah. Perfect. Next week, I've got a very interesting guest who is... He's a sort of escapee from Plymouth Brethren family of missionaries... who took him to Zambia. He's got a very interesting story to tell. Tune in to Free Thought Productions next Saturday. And
I can't wait to read his tell-all biography on Angel Cloud, or Angels, what was it?
Afterlife. Afterlife.cloud.
Afterlife.cloud, I want to see it. Thank you so much, George Brown, for coming back to us. We're right at the end of the show. So, Doubter 5, let me know everything you can tell me about atheism and what it's all about right now. I need to know.
Well, it'd be kind of hard in about 2-3 minutes, but you can buy my book.
Okay. There's a book. Nice.
There it is on the screen for YouTubers. It's called Atheism, What's It All About? And I go into an awful lot of information about atheism, its history, and just why it's so valid. You can find it on Amazon. You can also read the articles that I have in the book by going to my blog at digitalfreethought.com. We have radio show archives, atheist songs, and other articles there. You can go to my YouTube channel and find this video with other videos as well by searching for Doubter 5. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll answer them on future shows. If you are having trouble struggling, leaving religious beliefs behind, even though you don't believe them anymore, they can still be a
this is the latest of my
problem. They can still be a problem. Guys. It's okay. You can find help at recoveringfromreligion.org. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. This has been the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we will see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.